May the words of my mouth, meditation of my heart, be acceptable in your sight, Lord, my strength and my redeemer. Well, this is a charismatic church, by the way, and therefore this is a charismatic Eucharist, by the way. And charismatics believe the most ridiculous stuff. You ever notice that? I mean, they believe that you can touch them and Christ through your hand will heal them. We've even seen them do those ridiculous things a lot. We believe that Paul said in chapter 19 that people just touched garments or little pieces of rags and they got healed. That's the craziest thing I've ever heard of. And we've seen that happen too. It's been pretty amazing. Blind people get healed and all kind of cool stuff. And that's charismatic. Jesus, like this is, so you have a hard time with Eucharist. But how do you deal with a blind guy who not only, he needs sympathy for one, right? Some compassion. He's blind. I have a lot of compassion. I think that's, but what you do is put mud in their eyes. And they get healed. I wonder how that would work out in a lot of settings. He let people cut holes to roofs and rebuked the folks who got upset about it because he saw that as wholeheartedness and they got healed. So it's always interesting to me that we have a hard time believing that bread and wine can become the body and the blood of Jesus when Jesus said that's what happened. He said, this is my body. He didn't say this is a symbol of my body. That's called adding to scripture. He said, this is my body. Then he said, this is my blood. He said, but it doesn't taste like blood or taste like his body. Aren't you grateful? I mean, that's part of the miracle. So why do we have a hard time with it? Well, that's what Roman Catholics believe. Oh, that's a great theology. I don't want to spend my life being anti-Roman Catholic and forming my theology based on that. If all I do is look at the ditch and I see error in a ditch, and I create something, I'm going to end up in the ditch on the other side of the road. Let's just let God's word say what it says. We're not Roman Catholics. We're charismatics, crazy charismatics. We're intentionally bug-eyed, go for it, crazy charismatics. So, the most charismatic thing I do is Eucharist. So let me just read some stuff, okay? Verse 23 of 1 Corinthians 11. For I received from the Lord that which I have delivered to you. He said, I received it from the Lord. That the Lord Jesus, in the night in which he was betrayed, took bread. And when he had given thanks, he broke it and said, this is my body, which is for you. Do this in remembrance of me. In the same way, he took the cup also after supper, saying, this cup is in the new covenant in my blood. Do this in remembrance of me. For as often as you eat this bread and drink this cup, you proclaim the Lord's death until he comes. Now, so what's that mean? Like every time you receive Eucharist, we're saying Jesus died. Obviously, in the scripture, and Paul's the writer, when he talks about his death, he's talking about his finished work, his victory, his complete victory over the reign of sin and the powers of darkness. So at every Eucharist, we're somehow proclaiming the victory of Christ. And that's why every Eucharist, the gates of hell are pushed back. Like, don't plead the blood of Christ over us. That's what we're doing. When you plead the blood of Christ over people, what do you think you're doing? Pleading that a film of bloody things will be over their head? Oh, you're pleading the victory of Jesus over them. You're reminding, decreeing, declaring the total victory of Christ over whatever the oppression of the enemy is. And when he says, Jesus said, do this in remembrance of me, the other thing that we are is we're evangelical, so we believe what the Bible says, right? I know that you all do. And so it picks words intentionally, not accidentally. The word remembrance is anamnesis. Anamnesis is a Greek word. It doesn't mean to remember in memory. It means to take a past event present, a past event, and make it present as if it were happening now. Because God's an eternal now, right? How does he do inner healing? How does he go back, bring up something that happened years ago, bring it into the now, and then heal it? It's a miracle. It's charismatic. Jesus was slain when? Before the foundation of the world. Wow. That's what it says in Revelation 13. God had a solution before there was a problem. So if Jesus was slain before the foundation of the world, if that's real, yet it's manifested 2,000 years later, can't that reality that's been an eternal reality be made present in time and space? Like if you were standing, remember at Golgotha, if you were standing there, if you ever saw the movie Robe, I love that movie. Not Robe, but what's the other one? Ben-Hur. Ben-Hur's like the greatest ever. It's a charismatic movie. Because as the blood is flowing from the cross and it's raining and it gets in these little streams and this sort of red stream like a creek is running down and everyone who gets in touch with it gets healed, You ought to watch that show again. It was charismatic. All right, we spent too much time. We'll do this maybe again tomorrow or for the next 6 months. We'll see. So that reality, if you were at Calvary, do you think if you had something wrong with you, and when Jesus cried out, it's finished, his side is open, there's blood coming, do you think if there was something wrong with you, physically, spiritually, emotionally, that'd be the anointing to get healed and made whole? I mean, how powerful a meeting would that be? I mean, that would rock global meetings or Bill Johnson meetings or any other meetings. Wouldn't you want to go to that meeting? Have a chair, a lounge chair there? At every Eucharist, the word anamnesis means that that past event isn't repeated. It's never repeated. It's an eternal event. But that past event is made present in time and space, and you're there at that moment. And you should expect that Jesus is leading this conference. And what we believe, what churches believe for 2,000 years, is charismatic. It's called in persona Christi. When I stand back there, or anybody else, we're just standing in the person of Christ. Just when you pray for somebody to get healed, you didn't heal them. Jesus used your body to heal them in persona. It's charismatic. So once again, in persona, Jesus declares prophetically, this is my body, and it is. I don't understand it. It's a mystery to me. It's got nothing to do with what Roman Catholics believe. They believe in the Trinity, so that means that everything they believe is wrong. It's just what it is. It is. It's just charismatic. It's real. This is my blood. Wow. We ring those bells to let you know a miracle just happened because we're charismatics. Bread that used to be bread is no longer bread. It's the body of Christ. Blood that used to be wine is no longer wine. Wine is no longer wine. It's now the blood of Christ. Ding-a-ling-a-ling. Open your eyes and see. Really? We should be using a cowbell. You're just in a charismatic moment. Raise your expectation. Jesus is here offering himself and his finished work. You get to touch him. Taste and see how good the Lord is, and you will see God do profound things. In the chapter earlier, it says it's a cup of blessing. Really? So you should expect a blessing, right? He's in that same chapter. You hanging in there with me? Is this not a cup of blessing which we bless? Is it not a sharing in the blood of Christ? Participating, that's what the word literally means. Is not the bread which you break a sharing in the body of Christ? Since there is one bread, we who are many are one body, we all partake of the one bread. And look at the nation of Israel. Are they not who eat the sacrifices, sharers in the altar? What do I mean? That the thing sacrificed to idols is anything? Or that an idol is anything? No, but I say the things which the Gentiles sacrifice, they sacrifice to demons and not to God. I do not want you to become partakers of demons. Wow. So you're telling me that if I eat a meal that's sacrificed to demons, I'm actually going to partake of demons? What's the point? When you receive the bread and wine, you partake of Jesus. It's not just a memory. It's not just a memorial. Memorial's for dead people. Jesus is risen. It's a cup of blessing. Sometimes I get concerned because the people will come to Eucharist to hear the word or to get a word. Instead, you get to feed on the word. Jesus said he's the word. You get to feed on the body and the blood of Christ. You're there at Calvary, front row seat. You brought these pews or the lounge chairs there on the hillside. The anointing of the finished work of Christ, you can't get more intimate. How would you like to go to a conference that Jesus leads and then afterwards he says, okay, I'm going to be here and I'm going to touch every one of you. I'd go to that conference. I'd give everything I own to go to that conference, wouldn't you? Talking about a charismatic conference, people would be doing backflips down the aisle. All over the floor. Because it wouldn't just be a touch. It'd be the most intimate encounter because he actually says, well, you're going to feed on me. In the early church, and like in the first century or two, before there was the, quote, Roman Catholic Church, which was 1,000 years later, they were accused, the writings of early church being accused of being cannibals because they said they ate the body and drank the blood of Jesus. So he said, whoever eats this bread or drinks this cup in an unworthy manner shall be guilty of the body and blood of Christ. We don't get into all that. What is he saying? If you don't believe it is what it is, what Jesus says it is, if you undervalue, verse 28, let a person examine himself. So let him eat of the bread and drink of the cup. For he who eats and drinks judgment upon himself. If he does not judge the body, not the church, there's no context for that. That's just us adding stuff so we'll feel good about it. The body of Christ. For this reason, many of you are weak and sick, and a number of you asleep. Wow, that's charismatic. that the Eucharist has such an anointing that it can prevent weaknesses of all sorts, emotionally, spiritually, physically. It can keep you from being sick. It can prevent premature deaths. That's why early church fathers called it the medicine of immortality, the serpent's antidote. You believe on that, Bishop?
Yep.
Why? Well, for two reasons. One, I'm evangelical, and it's just what the Bible says. I don't have to change it around to fit my theology, and I'm charismatic, so I'm nutty enough to know it's true. And so, when I come to Eucharist, this is what I'm looking for. Not just here, but we should have policemen out there in the parking lot to help handle the traffic. People in here to help control you. Jesus is here, and you're going to get to feast on him at the foot of the cross and experience in a fresh way everything Jesus accomplished for you. When Jesus said it's finished, the word literally is it's perfect. And at every Eucharist, we get to hear those words echoed again. It's perfect. I'm here, Jesus. I'm offering you as the meal, and it's the bread of heaven. It comes from heaven. Therefore, it's not like regular bread. It's got different ingredients. You want to go to the health food store? There you go. You want to eat Vitamita Vegemins? That's it. You can't get better than that. It's bread from heaven, the best nutrients in the world. But many of you are sick. Many have died premature deaths, and many are weak in their marriage and their walk with the Lord, whatever it might be, because you've not understood what God's offering at this Eucharist. So, I believe all that. It doesn't make me Roman Catholic. It makes me a charismatic. Amen? So, now that you've had the introduction to the drama, let's get on with it.